Here's an honest question for you, with what I think is a pretty easy answer. When it comes to grocery shopping, would you rather wander the aisles of a store aimlessly, looking up and down your self-made list, or would you rather take a fun quiz about your individual goals and preferences and have a personalized cart built for you? Not to mention all the recipe recommendations and home delivery that come with it. If the latter option sounds more attractive, which I think it should, it for sure does for me, then you'll want to check out Hungry Root. I loved the creamy chicken and bell pepper Alfredo that I tried. It was so yummy. And the added bonus of doing all my shopping from home made it all the better. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies for life. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Think about how delicately you hold your baby, you dress your baby, and you feed your baby.
We do that because they're adorable, of course, but also because their skin is delicate. Know this, there is only one diaper brand that we recommend to give you the gentle protective care your little one needs. And that's Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Their Swaddlers diaper absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to keep your baby's skin dry, healthy, and beautiful.
And when you use Swaddlers in tandem with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, you'll keep your baby's skin healthy. The wipes are made from 100% plant-based cloth, and you won't have to worry about tearing.
With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match.
That's right!
So download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Hello, everybody. Welcome to We Can Do Hard Things. We're welcoming you to our house because for the first time in 250 episodes, the three of us, Abby, me, and Amanda, are all sitting together.
Is this really the first time we've ever done this?
This is the first time.
Yeah, we're all in one place, in one space. God. This feels so different and cool.
It's wild.
Yeah, so we're in what we call the office, but is kind of like a room for books and also is our oldest son's bedroom when he comes home from college.
He's sort of like a book too.
Yeah, he's a book.
So it's a room for all the books.
Yeah, yeah. So welcome to our book chase room. We're so glad to have you here, sister.
I feel so happy to be here. I feel like this is very special to be, well, it's always special to be in your presence. I feel like I'm at my best.
I feel a little nervous.
And this feels, it feels like live stage performance.
Yeah.
We should do some live stage performances.
I think we should. The pod squad should chime in here.
I mean, oh my
Would
God.
Would they want us to come on a nationwide tour?
Probably I should.
Oh my God,
do
you guys.
A dance. Maybe they want to see me dance.
Like, also, we should talk about these things before we bring them up on the pod. Okay. This is something that we did not think about. We didn't plan to talk about today, but we are in the very early stages of considering going out on the road and coming to the pod squad's towns and inviting them and all sharing space together.
By early stages, you mean like 60 seconds ago? That was
it. Yeah. Yeah.
The very early stages, as in you heard the earliest stage. I feel like, take this shit on the road. I'm feeling frisky right now, so I don't know how this is going to go.
Well, it's an interesting segue because I have not done any public things, mm-hmm. no speaking engagements, no appearances, no nothing for about a year, right? Didn't you say, Abby, that I've been in recovery for about a year?
1 year ago.
Right. So I don't know that that's true. All right. Time for mm-hmm. me is just an idea that mm-hmm. some people believe in.
It is
suggestion.
True,
yeah, it's a suggestion.
It is true though.
Okay. So that's so interesting. So when I think about going on tour, it makes me understand how much I have accomplished during this recovery, this year of recovery, because it doesn't feel horrible or terrifying to me suddenly. Which is interesting. I think I have a sturdiness that I didn't have before. And that's what I wanted to talk to you all about today, because I haven't done a update for the Pod Squad or for you two. I mean, Abby, you see it every day, but we haven't done an update on how recovery is going a year later. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, obviously, is recovery from anorexia, which I started talking to the Pod Squad about maybe about 8 months ago. Or no, I no told longer. The Pod Squad when I first had. So what happened is that I, for any new listeners, I have been in different stages of recovery from eating disorders since I was 25. I became bulimic when I was 10.
Well, actually, you went to therapy for like, it wasn't effective or real. You just said you were fine for a little bit when you were quite young.
Yeah, that's true. I was hospitalized, et cetera. But I was not thinking of that. I was not in recovery. I feel like
recovery is when you mean it.
When you mean to get better. Mm-hmm. Like what I was in is breaks from my life.
Right.
I was like a celebrity who is having exhaustion and needs to go to a hospital like for a break. Except I wasn't a celebrity and I was horrifically bulimic.
Right. And it wasn't like to some exotic location.
No, it was
the local like mental hospital.
It was a mental hospital. Yeah. Which let's do a whole episode on that. My time in the mental hospital. I would like to do that actually, but that's not for today.
Not today.
So then I got what I thought was sober from eating disorders when I got pregnant with Chase. Mm-hmm. So this was 21 years ago. And I was okay for a while, or what I thought was okay. But about a year and a half ago, I had a relapse of bulimia. And so after 6 months of doing nothing about it, I went into some deep therapy. And what I learned when I went back into therapy was that a very short way of explaining this is that what I thought was recovery from bulimia was actually that I had just taught myself anorexia to fix my bulimia. Okay. So basically what I did is I didn't really do any of the work. I just kind of figured out how to control the bulimic urges.
Right. You could abstain from bulimia by practicing anorexia, which is harder to quantify than bulimia. So you were like, I'm good.
Yeah. I thought I was just really disciplined, which I was, but that can become anorexia. So I entered this like whole new level of therapy. And it wasn't just therapy. It was a lot of things, like a lot of doctor's appointments. Kind of felt like a holistic over time thing where I was doing something related to my recovery every day for a long time. And the people who have followed the pod know a lot about that recovery, and it's been very difficult and all-encompassing and confusing. And I think it's so important to do this kind of stuff, to stop and be like, wait, I want to talk about who I am right now today, as opposed to who I was a year ago, because you can miss it all if you don't stop. I think about the travelers who used to build those, I think they're called cairns. They're like, when you go walking and you see like a stack of rocks on top of each other.
They're called cairns?
I think it's C-A-I-R-N. I might be making that up. We'll have to look at that after.
That's
but
cool.
You stop on your journey and you kind of like build something to show how far you've come, where you've been. It's like, here's a moment. And I think it's important too, because lots of weeks or days, I feel like nothing has changed and I'm still exactly the same and blah, 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 and I lose it all. So today I would like to tell a few little stories that make me understand that I am recovering. Like I'm a different energy than I was a year ago. I'm in a different mind space, spiritual space, bodily space than I was a year ago. And none of the stories have anything to do with food or weight or body, which is so interesting to me. Like, I tried to think of one.
Yeah.
Then they all kind of do. Well, the first one. So do you remember a while ago I was telling the Pod Squad and you all that I decided that my anorexia in the beginning was just an obsession with appearance? And so how I was going to fix it was become like an appearance monk. I was going to stop doing everything related to appearance. I made all these rules for myself. No more Botox, no more hair, no more makeup, no more, anyway, that was just like replacing one set of rules with a different set of rules, which is what a lot of people try to do in the beginning of recovery. That didn't work out. So then I decided I want to be the kind of human being, the kind of woman who doesn't want to get Botox. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to stop getting Botox until I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never going to make myself do something just because of the idea of it that right. I don't want to do.
I'm not going to pick the flower. I'm going to like go to the root and hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm going to be so gentle and kind to myself until it was, when I decided that, I felt like, oh, that's so calming. Like, I want to not dye my hair. I want to not want to, but I do want to. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, I would be disciplining myself
right.
to not do it. Right.
Well, it's denial of yourself, which is the same thing as anorexia, right? Exactly. Denying what you want, denying what you need, as opposed to being like, how can I get to the place where I don't want or need that thing? And then it's not denial. It's actually like gratification of yourself to not do it.
Yes. And I had this hunch that if I keep becoming whatever this round of recovery is helping me become, that there will be a time that I won't want to. Hmm. I just thought that, but I thought maybe it'll be in 20 years.
Right.
You know? So, a couple weeks ago, I get a message that I have a dermatology appointment. Okay. So, wait, were we together? I feel like we were. Yeah. I was like, why do I have a dermatology appointment? Everything that happens to me is like a big surprise. Okay. Yes. So, it's not like I was like, oh, it's coming up. Like, I have no idea right. what this is. Right. So, I call and I say, what is this appointment for? And they say, it's for your Botox. And what happens in my body is like, I don't want to go. I don't want it. Ooh. I don't want to go to that appointment. I don't have any want in me to go. And so then I did this thing. These words came out of my mouth that would never in a million years. And I say to the person, I don't want Botox, but can I keep the appointment and can they make it like a skin test, like to test me for skin damage or cancer? Like, what do you know, like a mole check.
Like
a mole
pre-cancerous check. Screening or whatever.
It's an annual checkup for the dermatologist.
It's what a dermatologist was supposed to be. Like,
exactly.
Side question, when did dermatologists become places where they're like, yeah, check, you don't have cancer. But the primary focus of this is to offer all of these aesthetic things. Same with the gynecologist. I just had to leave one because I went in for my literally, not just, but after Alice was born, I went in to get my 6-month checkup after the baby was born. And there were huge posters offering body sculpting.
Oh my God.
And I was like, give me my file. What the fuck? This is supposed to be a medical establishment where you check to see if my body's okay after massive health situations. So anyway,
it
shouldn't be extraordinary. You shouldn't have to ask for the dermatology appointment to focus on the health of your skin.
That is such a good point. And I've said something to the gynecologists before.
Oh, I took my file. I said, I am walking into this waiting room with all of these people who are about to give birth or who have just given birth, who you should be focusing on indications of whether they have postpartum depression, whether they have the supports they need for their child and their baby, whether they're able to breastfeed if that's what they choose. And instead, they're walking in postmortem,
which is a Freudian slip.
Postnatal, yes. Thank you. And a little bit postmortem. Yes. To giant posters of sculpted bellies and saying, we offer body sculpting. I said, this is outrageous. I want my file.
Hell,
and I left.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Way to blur the line even more in these offices between our own bodies and what we owe the world. So these women are sitting in this waiting room and they're trying to deal with all of the emotions and the mental transition to parenthood, and they look at a poster that says right now they should be worrying about their tummy, how it looks to the outer. Why isn't this like, that is the battle of like, wait, it's supposed to be this hard to figure out how to take care of ourselves as people and not just as beings that owe this outer shell, like that quote that pretty is not the rent you pay to exist in the world. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like it is.
I think that you both are very right about mm-hmm. this and the paradox of the world that we live in. There's a reason why these doctors' places and these facilities are offering is because people are buying them.
But they have a first do no harm oath.
And you think it's take, more harm than good?
I think walking into an office as a woman where you want to get your skin taken care of because your skin is an organ that holds you in and like walks you through your life, walking in for your health and then being told by a doctor, being suggested that you need cosmetic changes is doing harm. Absolutely. I think it's, yeah. I think there should be a brighter line between cosmetic shit.
Yeah, that's true.
And your actual health.
I get that.
I really 100% do.
I think those services should be available and I think you should be able to opt into them or inquire about them. And I think you should keep the main thing, which is that your doctor is there the myriad things that go uncovered, unasked about. I have a whole condition. My belly never came back together after, and I have a hernia. I have all the stuff that was never detected. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know to look for it. And that would have been at those post appointments. But we didn't have time to make sure that was okay. But you have time to check in with me and make sure that I don't want body sculpting. Yeah. So I just feel like, yes, if those services are for you, awesome. You should have the opportunity to inquire about those, to opt into those. But to have that confronted as if like this is the main purpose as to why you're here feels like complete bullshit to me. And it's a bigger issue about the medical cosmetic establishment and why these individual providers are being incentivized to go into these cosmetic areas because the insurance companies are squeezing them and not. So it's a bigger thing, but it's just, I think if more people were like, don't shove that in my face as something that I need to be thinking about if I'm not already thinking about it.
Right.
Absolutely. And don't shove it in our daughters' faces when we bring them in for their things. What are they learning from that? If you're a doctor who doesn't do that shit.
Good job.
Way to go. Thank you for fighting the fight.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations and multiple systems, the more margin you have and the more of your hard-earned money you get to keep. But with higher expenses than ever on things like materials and distribution, everything just costs more. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. You'll reduce IT costs, you'll cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you'll improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, and expenses don't slow down, so why should you?
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/hardthings. netsuite.com/hardthings. That's netsuite.com/hardthings. Speaking of not doing shit, I've been thinking about what the difference is, why I don't want it now. And I think one of the reasons is I'm just feeling a lot more comfortable in my body. Just a lot more comfortable. I just want to like look how I look and feel how I feel. And I was thinking, Abby, about how like a few months ago you started ordering. So I get home one day and there's like all of these eye creams at our house. And like, we don't know what we're doing with our, we don't, it's not like.
We're not We don't know what we're doing.
We're not eye cream people. Like every once in a while someone sends us some shit and we're like, what's this? And we, right, you know, right. Whatever.
Use it for 3 days and you're like, that should do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it, right? It's like a one-time use thing. And also, come on. Just come on with this. Like, I know that I'm probably, people are going to yell at me about this because everyone feels so strongly about skincare. But this shit, really, we're still buying it? We're not one bottle away from like, you know, eternal life. But anyway, which is why I was surprised when I got home and my wife, Abby Wambach, had ordered a bunch of eye creams. And I said, what is this shit? It's like all lined up by her, you know, Irish Spring on the, and she said, I just have been feeling bad about my wrinkles lately.
Oh, wow.
And then she said, I mean, look at my face. She goes, you're going to not age with me. She goes, you're just, I'm over here aging and you're not going to do it with me.
You're peer pressuring her into being.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was necessarily peer pressure, but like it is noticeable, the difference between our faces. It is very noticeable. I'm just noticing more. And I do think it's in stark contrast to Botox face, like your forehead. I'm just like, you're a little older than me too. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? There must be something. So yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you picked up on that, that I might be feeling a little more insecure because I look at you and you're so beautiful.
Keep up with the Joneses over here at the bathroom sink.
Yeah, it was a microcosm moment that made me understand very acutely what we do to each other.
Yeah.
What we do to each other in the wider world when we, God bless our hearts, I'm not blaming, I've done it my whole life, but two things can be true at the same time. It cannot be our fault. We have been conditioned to do this shit. Some women say like, if they don't look a certain way in their business places of work, they don't get promoted. Like, I understand all of it. And when we opt into it, we are part of, people look at our faces and we get used to the way people look. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror. And if we have a wrinkle that we have earned by our lifetime, it suddenly looks like a problem because other people don't have it. I just suddenly feel so excited to not be a part of that. Mm. I am a person who, because of my work, people look at my face a lot. More people look at my face than the average bear.
Than the average bear, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm just like excited to be in quiet solidarity with just resisting the tyranny of like, you are not allowed to be a human being. When we think about aging, it just means living.
Yeah.
It just means continuing to live.
Right.
So as my daughter Tishy always says, like, but it's just like proof of life. And that's my favorite thing. Proof of life. Like, it's just proof that you're alive.
Yeah. I mean, I hear all of this and it is hard to age. I really think that there's no shame in people wanting to express themselves how they want to. And I remember telling that to my grandmother when I was young. I was like, I love your wrinkles. So she was so worried about how she looked.
Huh.
And I remember when I was young, I mean, it's really easy when you have not a single wrinkle to be found. So I understand. And I think that what is so cool for you is that you have been able to go through this process of your recovery and figure out maybe what are the things that have been making you sick all along. And it's not just body stuff. It's the way that you feel about yourself. I love this conversation because I think that it is full, chock full of paradoxes where I can see it in both ways. Because I mean, if you're 50, 60, 70, 80 year old woman and you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, these people have no fucking clue what they're talking about because their faces have not aged yet.
Yeah, you know?
So I want to like
but level I'm set. Almost 50 and my face has not aged yet. And that's because I've been sticking poison in it. I'm just saying these things are true, right? Like, but now it's coming back. I haven't gotten it for like 6 months and I'm like looking at myself again.
How is it looking at yourself again?
I think it's okay. Like, I really think it's okay. I think I'm okay with it. Anorexia is kind of like a commitment to being steel, to being unhuman, to being unmoving, to being a robot. Like resisting, like it's whatever the opposite of wabi-sabi is. Like wabi-sabi is like the idea that everything is decaying and that's fucking beautiful. Everything's out of control and that's beautiful. That's like what makes it all beautiful. And then our culture is like, freeze it. Don't show time passing. Don't show mess. Don't show love. The opposite of the Velveteen Rabbit. I want all of the wabi-sabiness.
Cool.
And so I guess what in the paradox, I would say that if I had to like tell women anything right now, it would be just do exactly what you want.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when you want something different, do that.
Mm. Yes.
Don't go outside of yourself and think I should. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do that, I should do it. I should do the Botox. I should do the hair. Blah, blah, blah. No. But if you want to and you think I shouldn't do it, then just do it.
Exactly. Because another wrinkle, no pun intended, in this is that like I have never even considered doing those things. Like I've never gotten Botox. I've never gotten whatever. But it is because I would never let myself think about doing that because I would be so embarrassed. It's almost like a pride thing of like, well, I can't be someone who gets Botox. It's like that rebellion is just as much of a cage as obedience is. Like I wouldn't allow myself to entertain any of those choices because I'd be like, that is outside of who I should be, which is a woman who doesn't do that bullshit.
So you know how everyone throws around the term narcissist? Uh-huh. So you know where that comes from is like this old Greek myth where a person named Narcissus goes and looks at himself in a lake and then falls in love with the image of himself. And he gets frozen because he's so in love with the image of himself. Mm-hmm. And so we now call a narcissist a lot of different things. And we've done episodes on what narcissism really is. But what people think it is someone who loves themselves so much. But that story is not about someone who loved themselves. It's about someone who became obsessed with the image of themselves, not themselves. Mm-hmm. Narcissus didn't have self-love. Narcissus became enamored with an image. So like that's what that is. It's, it's not coming from inside of you. It's not love of self. It's love of an idea of yourself, an image of yourself.
It's the flip of you. Your image of yourself is you don't show any decay. My image of myself is that I am a woman who would never entertain such tomfoolery.
Yeah.
But they're both images.
Exactly. And I was always just like, what kind of person am I? Am I a good enough person? Am I the kind of woman who wears flowy clothes? Am I the kind of woman who wears...
Am I the kind of woman who looks comfortable?
Am I the kind of woman who wears a suit? Do I wear beads? I've been trying to find an identity for so fucking long, you know? And it's like, what kind of person am I? I guess I should check in
and find out myself
right now. And like what I am now might be different than what I am tomorrow, which I feel like is kind of the opposite of anorexia or frozenness. Or narcissism. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was the first little thing, was the Botox
just
thing.
Just a little thing.
Well, and by the way, like I have a hair dyeing appointment tomorrow.
Yeah.
So nobody's going off the deep end here. Only my forehead is decaying. Okay, but one thing at a time. Okay, one, I'm going to, like the Velveteen Rabbit, I'm going to become human one thing at a time. Right. Single-handedly impacting our environment for the better, that's a daunting task. But it's possible, and there are incredible people who are living proof that setting your mind to something and really being passionate about it will bring about change. The Goldman Environmental Prize is the world's foremost award honoring grassroots environmental activists. Each year, the prize honors six ordinary people who are making an extraordinary impact for the planet. If you look at this year's winners, you'll learn about Marcel Gomez, who exposed the links between a company's meatpacking practices and illegal deforestation, which led to a major boycott of that company's products. Amazing. You'll learn about Andrea Vidaurre, whose relentless leadership resulted in California adopting its most ambitious emissions reduction regulations in history. And there are more amazing stories to discover. I can't imagine stories more important than these. Find the stories of this year's prize winners at goldmanprize.org. So then we had this really cool thing, which the Pod Squad probably already knows about, which where we had new pictures taken and the three of us were together.
Yes.
Okay. So our dear friend, Alex Hedison, who is a photographer and Abby and I's best friend besides sister Dina and Allison, came to us to take pictures of us. The three of us were together for the pod art. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's many things that I hate more than a photo shoot.
Me too.
But for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You just are annoyed and want it to be over. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm supposed to wear. I don't know what my hair is supposed to be like. I don't know how people smile. It's awful. So I was dreading McDredd. Mm-hmm. Dredder McDredderton.
From Dredderton.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had the most unusual experience, which is that I got up that morning. I took a shower. I didn't do anything with my hair. I put on my little light makeup, which is foundation, which is really has sunscreen in it. So it's really just like medicine, mm-hmm. not even makeup.
Doctor prescribed.
And we had a 6-hour photo shoot and I didn't feel 1 ounce of stress. I felt very natural and normal the whole time. And when we got the pictures back, I was like, that looks like me. It's the first time I have ever looked at a picture and been like, oh yeah, that looks like me.
No way.
I've never seen a picture where I was like, that person looks familiar to me.
And it wasn't that, because looks like you.
It wasn't about that.
It was that you were calm and in yourself and you weren't performing.
Yes. I wasn't posing. I wasn't becoming a different person for a photo shoot.
That's so interesting because you have, ever since I've known you, I can look through some pictures that have been taken of you over the years. And every single one looks different.
I know.
That you actually look like a different person because I think you're trying to act like a different person other than who you are. So this to me makes so much sense because you're feeling a little bit like yourself so you don't have to act.
It's like with you were never able to listen to your voice in anything mm-hmm. because your voice maybe was like 1% off of authentic
yes.
because you weren't actually at home and grounded and coming from that place. So you were so turned off by the sound of your voice because even that smidge of inauthenticity is like staring at the sun. Mm. But then you were saying how you can listen to your voice now.
Yeah.
Because the same thing as it sounds like me is the same thing as when you look at those pictures and say, that looks like me. It isn't what the picture looks like. It's that you, when you look in that picture, you see a woman who is comfortable.
Yes, familiar.
Exactly. It's not about what I looked like. It's about what I looked like I felt like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You look comfortable.
Yeah. I looked like somebody who was not performing or acting a different self. And Alex said that she went home and told her partner, I just took the first good pictures of Glennon Doyle. It's like, oh my God. Also, really? But yeah, that's true. Or the best. I think she said the best. Anyway, so there was that day. And then another thing that happened is that.
I'm so scared. All of these stories.
I know.
They're
not about me.
I'm like, did I do something wrong?
No. They're all, these are just very little ones and they have nothing to do. Well, the last one includes you, sister. But so this one is so silly, but for me felt like, oh my God, this is recovery. Okay, so I was at a store and I was looking at bracelets. And I really hear something that is true about me. I really like sparkly things.
Yes, you do.
Okay. And I don't like sparkly things because of the way they look to other people on me. Mm-hmm. I like to look at sparkly things. Mm-hmm.
Delight. Mm-hmm.
Looking, I could, I'm it, sparkly Sparks on the joy. Inside right now.
Sparkles, spark, joy.
I mean, I just like sparkly fucking things. Like, that is true to me. I was not taught this.
I know three things about myself. And one is that I like sparkly things.
And it's a little embarrassing, right?
No, it's
like
beautiful.
It's so like femme and like.
Why is it embarrassing?
I don't know. It's not like cool.
Yes, it is. You figured something out.
Okay.
Yeah. That shit's fucking cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Like even fish. Like fish that are sparkly. You know, the ones with the silver. Like I'm just like. Oh,
it's all coming out now.
She's yeah, I can't believe that that got made by God or something. Like yeah. Just all of it, just the sparkles. So I was at a store and I saw this thing of beads and it was just sparkly, sparkly, sparkly. And it looked so stupid. Like it did not look good.
Yeah, it wasn't like a sophisticated, no. It's not like what someone would choose to wear.
Nobody would choose to wear this, right? But I was like, I want this because I want to look at this.
Right. I don't think this will look good on me. I think this will look good to me.
Yes. You don't understand. I was in the store going, oh my God. Is that what things are for? Is that what things are for? Like I should... have things that I love to look at.
Yeah.
On my body, in my life, in my house. Not like, is someone else going to think this thing is cool? Mm-hmm. But do I like to look at this thing? Mm. Oh my God. I am sure that so many people are listening and are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
One's over here.
It's profound to me.
To me?
Yeah.
Profound.
Congratulations, Abby, that you learned that early.
I just want things on me and around me that I like and that I like to look at. Mm-hmm. And I'm not caring so much. Oh my God. One of our daughter's friends said to her, they were talking about looks. She said, well, I don't care about my face. Your face is more important to me. I have to look at you.
Isn't that so good?
I don't have to look at me. My face is your problem. That is the revolution.
Yes, it is. It's good.
Okay. Last thing is that yesterday, Sister and Abby and I were on a walk with Allison and Dina mm-hmm. at our house because we're all here. We're all here right now.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. And we're going to, actually, we should just have a whole episode on the things that we've been making you guys do since you've been here. Anyway.
It's good.
So we're walking down and Sister turns to me and we talk about emotional things, but we don't have a lot of like sincere, tender moments between us, right?
It's the Irish Catholic in us.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, like being earnest we're getting better at it. But Sister turns to me and says a very emotional, tender thing. She stops and looks at me and says, this is the least fucked up you have ever been.
Make it a greeting card, people.
This is the least. Oh, and
that's as sappy as I get.
I would look good on a fucking sweatshirt.
I'll take it. This is the least fucked up I have ever been. I really do believe that.
It's true.
I think this is the least.
I do not speak a lie.
But what did you mean? It's not like you're mm-mm. watching me eat food and thinking she's eating the right amount. Or it's not like my body's a certain thing where you're like, so what is it?
I think it's a sturdiness.
Yeah.
A groundedness. It's hard to explain, but there's a centrality in you that it's like you are inside of you. And the things that come at you or come around you or whatever's going on outside of you doesn't feel like it disturbs the sturdiness of you. And you have a clarity, I feel like, and you're able to maintain that energetic sturdiness regardless of energies or people or challenges around you that would normally have been before this. Those energies would have come into you and would have changed the whole ecosystem. Like you would have been affected by other energies and that would have morphed you.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like you are like, this is what I am. And I'm not blocking out those other energies. Mm-hmm. I am able to kind of digest them, deal with them, understand them, but they're not changing my energy.
Yep. That sounds right.
Yeah, it's almost like for the whole of your anorexia, you would go out into the world with your representative, your anorexia representative. And over the last year, I've seen an eroding of that representative. It's like this truer, this little like kid kind of. I see this little kid. You know how kids are just like, they ask questions. There's like a curiosity to you. But now this whole person, like the essence of you is coming forward and you are just becoming more full. And I'm not having obviously anything to do with your body, but like you're becoming more of a full human being. And it's not to say that you don't have moments of anxiety or internal conversations, about your recovery or about whatever, but it's just been so lovely. In fact, I find myself not being able to be the calm one anymore because that's the world I used to live in. You were anxious and I had to balance the scales. And so now I feel myself healing through this process too.
Like you're able to have a more range of emotions.
Yes.
Because her being calm doesn't mean you always have to only be calm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast where I'm doing therapy. I'm working on my shadow work
mm-hmm.
and it has completely changed my life.
Yeah.
And the only way I think that I was ever going to give myself permission to do the work is if I knew that you were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally know that.
That's so true that it might not be an anxiety versus calm thing, but
right.
that polarization within partnerships
yes.
is so real. If someone is on the certain side of the spectrum, the other person's humanity is diminished because the polarization just occurs where they become the equal and the opposite.
Yes.
Because they have to occupy that space
100%.
To even it out. And then that further polarizes. Mm-hmm. So it's like no such thing as one-way liberation mm-hmm. when people expand their range of humanity the other person gets to too.
Pod Squad, some of what we share with you on the show are our individual, unique experiences in therapy and the takeaways that help us grow, appreciate each other, and navigate this beautiful life we're doing together. Thank you for doing it with us. But the things we talk about in therapy itself, these are things we wouldn't necessarily share with just anyone. I think there are few things more important than finding the right person to share your deepest thoughts, feelings, and questions with, like a therapist. That's why we are thrilled about Alma's support of our show. They're big believers that you need the right someone to talk to, not just anyone. Alma helps you to find a therapist who gets you based on your needs, someone with whom you'll feel comfortable, heard, secure. Plus, and this shouldn't be overlooked, over 96% of therapists at Alma accept insurance because you want to pick someone based on the right fit, not just based on finances. You can browse their directory now. You don't even need to create an account. Visit helloalma.com/hardthings to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/hardthings.
You know what I think it is that is so different is that there is a complete lack of defensiveness. In your posture.
Mm.
It reminds me of when you were getting together with Abby and mom was so concerned and she was asking all the questions and you were so on edge and so defensive and so ready to react at all times to what she was saying. And I was like, you only have to be defensive if someone can take something from you. Mm-hmm. That is your constant posture now, is like, I don't have to defend anything. No one can take this piece from me. No one can take this solidity from me. Like this solidity doesn't come from other people, so they can't take it. Right. It's like an internal calibration. So I think that's where the inquisitiveness and the curiosity can come from, because it isn't like, okay, I'm asking where you're coming from because it might change where I'm coming from. It's right. I can ask you that because it might edify me in some way. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to take anything from me.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you say the one-way liberation. Abby and I talk about our family and like what has happened in our family since recovery, my recovery has started, which like our oldest went abroad, got himself this little grant and went to a different country for the whole summer. Like that is just, okay. And then, and then the middle one really started her music, like really got into it and is off doing it with other people that aren't me.
Literally right now.
Right now. Yeah. She's in Tennessee right now. And it's just, Abby and I talk about like, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the kids energetically finally understood, like, she's okay. We can do our thing. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels. You know?
For sure.
And what's so important to me about these conversations is if you could have talked to me like 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday, I have moments all the time where I'm like, this is just all bullshit. Like, what is this? What am I doing? This is not real. Like, I'm not really recovering. I'm just the same person as I was before. Like, I just have so many moments like that, but
coming around the mountain.
Oh my God. Over and over again. But like, I just got a message from the kind of like practice that I'm a part of for this like holistic recovery thing that was like, are you going to renew your thing? Mm-hmm. Like your membership in this group or whatever. And there was a part of me that was like, oh no, I'm good. Like, I'm
oh
good.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going to spend all that money. Recovery is so expensive. Yeah, like it's
such bullshit.
It's such horseshit.
The aforementioned medical complex of horseshit.
God. But then I was like, oh, you're so funny. Like, this is, of course you're going to do this. Look at, just trust this process. So I re-signed up. And it's just so funny because I'm almost 50 and I'm like, oh yeah, this is who I am. I was just flipping through one of my favorite like quote places and I saw this picture of Miles Davis and right underneath it just said, man, sometimes it takes a long time to sound like yourself. And that's how I feel. Like, it can take a really long time to look how you look. It can take a really long time to feel how you feel, to be who you are. So anyway, thank you for letting me do this today. It feels really good. And thanks for being steady and with me throughout this past year and forever. I just feel like you're walking me through this has been what has allowed it, kind of. And I love you both so much. And I'm so grateful.
I mean, the gratitude should be also pointed back at you because, like I said, not only has it completely impacted my personal life, like in the day-to-day and the interactions with you and the kids, but there is something so beautiful about watching your partner go through a difficult uncovering and a difficult time, and to watch you continue to do it. You know, this is the first I've heard that you had to like re-sign up for the year-long membership. And that is something that I would have been worried about a year ago. Something that would have lapsed. Something that I needed to take.
Oh, yeah.
Something that I know you wouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, this has been so awesome because I was ready to go all the way to my grave, just protecting you, taking care of everything, doing whatever I needed to like support you. And what a gift this has been for me because I feel less stressed about having to do the things right. You've got you.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to know that deep in my bones has like softened me and made me capable of looking at myself and do work on myself. But I said to you last night, it now looks like you are actively wanting to live a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
In the decisions and the ways that you're being and the things that you're thinking about and the ways that you're thinking about stuff, like it's not just like right now we got to deal with this one moment. It's like you have like a long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know that that's going to affect me the most. And I want you to be around as long as fucking humanly possible.
I love you. Thanks, Pod Squad. We'll see you next time. Bye. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. First, can you please follow or subscribe to We Can Do Hard Things? Following the pod helps you because you'll never miss an episode, and it helps us because you'll never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the We Can Do Hard Things show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow. This is the most important thing for the pod. While you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode you loved with a friend, we would be so grateful. We appreciate you very much. We Can Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location, it's the neighborhood, it's so much more. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with state rankings and student-to-teacher ratios. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.